So this weekend, Thursday, Erev Yom Tif, we're making an Erev Tov Shilin, because Yom Tif is Friday Shabbos. So in order to cook on Friday to cover Shabbos, we have to make an Erev Tov Shilin. There's an interesting halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah recommends that this Shabbos, we make an early Shabbos. Now, this is very striking because the Mishnah Berurah is not a big fan of early Shabbos under most circumstances for a whole variety of reasons. And all the times that we make early Shabbos through the summer, our 7 o'clock minyanim, the Mishnah Berurah has like half a dozen reasons why he doesn't like it, which we're not going to talk about today. But ironically, this Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, this Shabbos is a good idea. You should make an early davening on Friday night.
Specifically, the Shabbos, which comes the second day of Shavuos.
No, it's not about Shavuos per se, but a Shabbos of Erev Tavshilin. A Shabbos that where Erev Shabbos was Yom Tif. So you make an Erev Tavshilin, under those circumstances, you should make an early Shabbos. And why? So he says, because when you have an Erev Tavshilin, so you're allowed to cook on Yom Tif for Shabbos, but you have to cook earlier on. It doesn't have to be very early, but you have to cook early enough that the food is going to be ready while it's still Yom Tif. When I say ready, it doesn't have to be mamish ready, chazal v'shir v'machol ben drusoy. It has to be at least somewhat ready that you could use it on Yom Tif if you needed to. But to put up the food right at the end of Yom Tif, right? It's Yom Tif. You still, you know, have a heter v'echol nefesh, but it's, let's say, it'll be, what is it now? You know, Shkias HaChaman now is around 10 after 8. So if a person would go put food on the stove at 8 o'clock this Friday, then, right, relying on their Erev Tavshilin, that's not allowed. On an ordinary Erev Shabbos, you're allowed, even though we have some chumras, especially Ashkenazim, have some chumras to try to be more careful than that. But certainly, Maker Din, you're allowed to put food on the stove right before Shabbos. But when you're relying on an Erev Tavshilin, then you have to do it earlier in the day. You can't do it at 8 o'clock. You have to do it early enough that it's going to be ready while it's still Yom Tif. And therefore, so that's a din in the Moloch and the Bishul. But as a good eitzah or trick to help ensure that people are not nichshol in that, so the Mishnah Berurah says, make an early davening. If everybody's going to shul at 7 o'clock, then the wives are not going to be starting to cook at 8 o'clock. If people are in a mindset that Shabbos is coming early, so then they'll finish their malacha before that. So because of that, he says that it's a good idea to make the Shabbos earlier. What's the idea behind this halacha that the cooking can't be at the last minute, it has to be earlier? So it's based on a Gemara. The svar in the Gemara, the words of the Gemara, hoyel v'im mikali archem, that if, well, let's back up a step. The Gemara, the idea of Erev Tavshilin is that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to do any malach for any purposes. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to do malach tzarichal nefesh, but only for that day. It has to be for the day of Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for choyel, so to cook on Yom Tov for the following day, whether it's Chol or Shabbos, would l'cher be the same problem, so you wouldn't be able to cook for Shabbos. Now, ordinarily, you cook for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, you can't cook on Shabbos, but if Erev Shabbos is Yom Tov, so Chazal said, then there's going to be a problem, because when are you going to cook? To cook 2 days in advance, you know, that's easy for us to say. We cook food and we put it in the refrigerator, we put it in the freezer. Once upon a time, the food really had to be fresh. And when we talk about, you know, it wasn't just the cooking, it was the shachting. You know, if they wanted to eat food on Shabbos, so on Thursday the chicken was still running around. And then on Friday they would shecht it, otherwise the food was going to spoil. So they needed an eitzah. So they said that if you start cooking your Shabbos food before Yom Tif, then whatever you continue to cook on Yom Tif is considered a continuation of that. So then you didn't start it on Yom Tif, so then it's okay. So what you do is you cook one Shabbos food before Yom Tov, pick something that's not going to spoil. That's why the old minig was a hard-boiled egg. It really doesn't have to be a hard-boiled egg. It's fine, certainly nowadays that we have refrigeration. It's perfectly fine to use chicken, to use fish, to use meat for your Erev Tavshilin. But in the olden days, they didn't do that because they didn't have the chicken, fish, or meat ready before Yom Tov for Shabbos because that had to be fresh. But a hard-boiled egg, you could always cook in advance and it stays for a few days. So they say cook an egg or something. I cook something before Yom Tov starts, and then pick it up and say, okay, this is the beginning of my Shabbos preparation, and then I'm going to cook more tomorrow on Yom Tov, but I'm being ma'arev that, I'm mixing that, I'm mixing that together with this egg, so that it shouldn't be considered something that I started on Yom Tov, it's just a continuation of what I started before Yom Tov, and that makes it mutter. Then you're allowed to continue cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. You can't start cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but you're allowed to continue cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos.
Does that egg have to be cooked l'shma, or I could just take an egg from the fridge?
Yeah, you can just take an egg from the fridge. Right, it doesn't, it doesn't have to be made for the Erev of Shilin. Now, but the Gemara says that there's no way that this
doubling up on Barry's comment,
yeah.
If it's not something that you do for that purpose, what makes it that it's the beginning of cooking for a Shabbos? If just making a bracha does it? I mean, you think if you go and you say, okay, I'm starting to cook for Shabbos, I'm boiling an egg now,
yeah,
it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to...
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe it does have to be cooked for Shabbos. I don't know. I hear Kasha, and they use
matzah too.
Right, and that was certainly not
made for that.
Right. That was certainly not made for that.
And that's not made for anything that you're cooking.
No,
right. I don't think it needs to be, but I hear your Kasha. I'm not sure. I don't know. The idea of the tuminim is that it has to be a tafshel and pas. The ikr is the tafshel, but we're not to use a piece of a pas also. Okay, so but the shaila is, how does this really work? It seems like a trick. Malacha is a serious isser. To do malacha on Yom Tov for, you know, there's a head to do it for Eichel Nefesh, but to do malacha when it's not for Eichel Nefesh, and non-Yom Tov needs are as good as non-Eichel Nefesh, is an isser deraisa. And this Erev, all Erev are drabanans, right? Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tchumen are drabanans. But over there, they're just, see, those Erev are easier to understand because they're just coming to take off an Issa drabanan. The Tchum is an Issa drabanan, and the Chum said that they're the ones that said you can't walk more than 2,000 amas, and then they gave you this trick to manipulate your 2,000 amas. They're the ones that said that you can't carry in a Chatzer. Remember, a Chatzer is a Rosh HaYachid, it's surrounded by walls, but there are multiple houses. So they're the ones that said that since it resembles a public sphere, you're not allowed to carry there, and they gave you an Eitzah. But if you make an Eruv over there means that you take some, you know, a Muslim Shtei Sudais that's collected from the people that live there, and they put it into one house, and they all have a single Shvisa, then you're allowed to carry there. So those Eruvin are Takonis Drabonim to take off an Issa Drabonim. But Eruv Tavshilin is a much bigger challenge because that's a Takana Drabanon that seems to be taking off an Isser Deiraisa to cook on Yontif for after Yontif. So how could that work? So in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav, to answer that question, Rabbi says, Hayol v'im mikali archem. Since if guests would come, meaning that we say you're cooking Shabbos food, right? It's Friday afternoon and your wife is, you know, putting chicken into the oven to roast the chicken. She does that every Friday afternoon for her Friday night suda. So, of course, she's cooking Friday. She's cooking Shabbos food now, right? She's not cooking Yom Tov food. She's cooking Shabbos food. You know that and I know that. But what would happen if at 7 o'clock tonight somebody would knock on the door and say, I'm hungry. Do you have any food for me? So now she has some roast chicken. And, of course, she would serve it to the guest. So it doesn't have to be Shabbos food. You're just intending to make it Shabbos food. But it could be used on Yom Tov. So since it could be used on Yom Tov, it goes into the heter of Eichel Nefesh. Now, you're not intending to use it for Yom Tov, so we don't like to use the heter of Eichel Nefesh for that. But that's already an Issa Drabanan. That which, because you weren't intending to use it for Yom Tov, that which your intention should matter, that's just Drabanan. Midereisa, we say, objectively, there's no reason why this can't be Yom Tov food. It's Yom Tov. Eichel Nefesh is mutter. You're allowed to cook Yom Tov food. And this could also be Yom Tov food, because if guests would come, you would serve it to the guests. So therefore, we consider it Yom Tov food. That's a good enough svara to be matir at midei raisa. The Rabbanan came along and said, no, you have to put labels and designate. Yom Tov food is what you're intending for Yom Tov. And if you're not intending for Yom Tov, it's not considered Yom Tov food, it's considered Shabbos food. So to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos would involve then an Issur Drabbanan. Oh, and Issur Drabbanan, the Erev Tavshilin can help to take off that Issur Drabbanan. But the Issur Deiraisa is off because of the fact that the food could be used on Yom Tov. That's what Chazal expresses, if guests would come. It means since the food could be used on Yom Tov, that's enough to take off the Isser D'oraisa of cooking on Yom Tov.
What do you need the Eira for?
To take off the Isser D'rabanan. Meaning this Svara...
Use the Svara pile.
And that reduces it from a D'oraisa to a D'rabanan.
That's what it does.
That reduces it from a D'oraisa to a D'rabanan, but it wouldn't work. Meaning, for example, if, let's say, Yom Tov is Tuesday, and you're cooking for Wednesday, so there also you have the Svar of Hayil. Still true that you might end up using the food on Yom Tov. So there also won't be an Issa D'oraisa, but you're not allowed to do that because there's no Erev Tav Shilin. So what you're left with is an Issa D'rabanan. So if it would be Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, you'd have an Issa D'rabanan. So now when it's Friday or Shabbos, that Issa D'rabanan can be resolved with the Erev Tav Shilin. So that's what Rabbi says in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav, and that's where that Mishabur that we spoke about before, he's quoting a Magen Avraham. That's where the Magen Avraham is coming from. Actually, before the Magen Avraham, let's add one more step from that sugya. Tosfos on that Gemara.
So why don't we do an Eruv also for Yom Tov Sheni Shagol? Yes, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because we don't prepare for one Yom Tov to the other.
Right. So you mean, so why can't we use Eruv for that? Chazal didn't make that takana. Why? Because it's not necessary, because you could cook on the second day. On Shabbos, you can't cook, so there they made the takana. But on Yom Tov, you could.
Right.
Tell you that it's a kasha, that if we accept this Svar of Hayel, so it would seem then that cooking on Yom Tov can never be an Issur D'oraisa. Because, meaning, we're discussing a context of where it was Erev Shabbos, but like I just explained to, right, responding to Yitz, that it's not Dafkar on Erev Shabbos, the Svar of Hayol is for any Yom Tov. So it seems that the Svar of Hayol throws out the whole lav in the Torah of cooking on Yom Tov. I mean, there's still a lot. There's a lav that says don't do malacha. Of course, you could still get malchus for other malachas. If you plant, if you build a house, you'll get malchus. But for malachas ha'ichal nefesh, you should never get malchus. Because if you're doing it for Yom Tov, great. So that's what the Torah wants to do. That's mutar. And even if you're not doing it for Yom Tov, but there's a svar of Hayol that makes it that we could consider it Yom Tov food, at least on a D'oraisa level. So you should never get malchus for food preparation on Yom Tov. The problem is fructose, but there's a brisa in Masechet Shabbos where it says Haroida Chalos Dvash. If somebody harvests a honeycomb on Yom Tov, he's loike. One time it says he's loike. For which malacha? Harvesting. The other Tanya says, well, that's not called harvesting because it doesn't grow from the ground. So there's a machlaikis about whether that is called harvesting or it's not called harvesting. But if it is called harvesting, you get malchus. But fructosis, why do you get malchus? The honey is for food, right? You harvest honey, you could eat the honey. So it's malachas eichel nefesh. You should be allowed to do it. You'll tell me that, well, we're talking about where you're intending not to eat it on Yom Tov. You're intending to eat it, you know, tomorrow or next week, that's where you're getting malchus. But there's a svar of hayol. You always might use it today, even if you're not intending to use it today. You might use it today. If guests come, you'll use it today. So why do you ever get malchus?
So if I go for fruit on the tree, you need it for cooking.
Yeah, that should be the same kasha.
Same kasha?
Right, same kasha, but we don't have a brisa that singles out Yom Tov in that context. That. Right, that's true. It is. So
that's why it's also to harvest the honey.
Okay, so that right. So if you say that the heter of Eichel Nefesh only goes Milisha ve'elach, then you wouldn't have Tosfos as Kasha. But that's the Machlokes Rishonim, and this Tosfos, right, we're not doing that sugya, but that's a great deal from this Tosfos. So this Tosfos seems to hold that the Melacha of Eichel Nefesh could include a wider range of Melachites than we sometimes think. But that's
Eichel Nefesh, the rice if I cook dry food, because then you don't have pile.
If you cook what?
Good try. If you cook tray food, he said. I don't know.
Why are you cooking tray food?
Tray food is not from
Nefesh. That's all they have.
You mean you bought your meat in a month?
You're not
allowed
to eat
it. It's a great China. That's a great China. Tastes is. Could you ever get malchus? Yeah.
Care about that if they don't care about that? Like, what's the...
Well, if it's an afkamina for Basin giving him malchus, then we don't care what he cares about. Right? We want to know if we're going to give him malchus for that cooking. Yeah, I guess l'chayr we would. But the case of Roy Dechalis Dvash, the Braisa doesn't say that it was done for Goyim. So Tezis asks, why would the Braisa say you get Malchus over there? There's always a Hayil. But you're right, no, I appreciate that. All right, the way I was saying over Tezis Kash is that there's always a Hayil. You should never get Malchus for food preparation on Yantav. So I think you're right that in a case where you're cooking non-kosher food, you'd get Malchus, there for sure you don't have Hayil. But Tezis Kash was, but why does Roy Dechalis Dvash get Malchus? Because that's kosher. I mean, honey is kosher. It's all honey is kosher. So even if you're not intending to use it on Yantif, but there's a Hayil, why would you get Malchus? Tosis answers, the case of the Braisa is if you did it Samach L'Shkiyas HaChama. You did it at the very end of the day, so that you can't use that honey. You did it too close to the end of the day that you can't still serve that to your guest on Yantif. You took it out of the honeycomb right as the sun was going down, so it can only be used after Yom Tov. If it can only be used after Yom Tov, so then you don't have a Svar of Hayol, then the Kabinis of Deraisa. So the Magen Avraham says, if the Gemara tells me that Erev Tavshilin only works because Hayol reduced it from a Deraisa to a Derabanan, and then Tosis came and told me that if you do a Malacha B'Seif Hayoim, there's no Hayol, that means that such cooking is Deraisa, not Drabanan, and Erev Tavshilin doesn't work for that. Meaning, and even with your Erev Tavshilin, you're still going to be over, not just on Anissa Drabanan, but on Anissa Deraisa. So if you put up your Shalant at 7:30, at 8 o'clock this Friday, the Magen Avraham says, that's going to be an Isser Deraisa, even if you made an Erev Tavshilin. Because Erev Tavshilin helps if you're going to put up the Shalant at 3 o'clock, and therefore you'd be ready to serve it at 7 o'clock. But you're doing it for tomorrow, not for today, which, you know, you're not supposed to do on Yantif, that's an Issa Drabanan, but you made an Erev Tavshilin, now you're allowed to do it. But if you're going to be putting it up at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, let's say at 8 o'clock, so then you can't serve it to anybody while it's still Yantif, so then it's an Issa Deraisa. Erev Tavshilin can't take off an Issa Deraisa. So the Magen Avraham is quite strict about this. He says that it's Ma'aki, even Medieved, that even if a person made an Erev Tavshilin, but then they took a long nap on Yantif afternoon and they get up at 8 o'clock and they want to cook food, or soup or chalent or chicken, anything, at 8 o'clock, you can't put anything on the stove. And if you do, you get Malchus for it. You'd be over an Issa Deraisa. That's the Chumrah of the Magen Avraham. And the Mishnah Brura, as we'll see, he doesn't quite take it quite to the extreme of the Magen Avraham as far as how important it is b'di'eved, but l'chatchili, he certainly endorses that, and he says that, that's why, you know, you have to do your cooking earlier, and so that people should have this consciousness, that he endorses making Shabbos earlier, so that people will do their food preparation earlier. Right? But practically speaking, people need to know that whatever, you know, you might have arranged your schedule with first a nap and then the cooking, it might be a better idea to do first the cooking than the nap. Now, it all depends on how long the nap is, right? You don't have to, you know, the food doesn't have to all be fully ready, but it has to be at least on the stove early enough that it's kamacha ben drusoi, that it's cooked, you know, pretty well, edible by the time Shabbos comes.
Why do some people hold you allowed to put the chalent right before Shabbos?
Not when it's Yom Tov.
Mom, I'm saying before Shabbos, regular Shabbos.
On a regular Shabbos. On a regular Shabbos, that's a different discussion.
It's
a weekday.
You're not going to stir it.
But you might stir it on Shabbos. Yeah, so there's a machlekes tanoim, whether we're choshish for that. That's a different discussion.
Like you said, Ashkenazim are knowing not to do that. I had a fight with a woman. She said, no, she was taught that you're allowed to put it right before Shabbos.
Yeah, okay, that's a different discussion. I won't ask which woman you were having a fight with.
But she said you're allowed to.
Okay.
She learns Gemara.
Yeah, okay, we're gonna hold off on that. Hold off on that. Maybe next time.
Okay.
So where were we? So this was the Magen Avraham's Chumrah, and the Mishnah Berurah says l'chatchil you should be chayish for this. Okay, now there's a few very interesting, I wouldn't say rebuttals, but let's say responses to this Chumrah of the Magen Avraham. From various alumnusha considerations, the one that there's a very interesting ha'ara. This comes from the Sefer Afike Yam. Michil Michal Rabinovich, I guess, was a Litvish Talmud Chacham. I think he was killed in World War II. He was killed by, I think he was in Varanovich, or I don't know. He was in Lita somewhere, and he was killed by the Nazis. But that gives us a sense of where he was chronologically. This is, he has a Shtickel Torah in Chelik Beis of his Sefer Afikei Yam. I want to just say over something first from the Hakdama to Chelik Beis. He writes something very interesting. He says that about 30 years ago, I published the first volume of my writings. And so I already have a readership. People like my stuff. And now I'm putting out a Chelik Beis. And I have to warn you that you might be disappointed because it's not the same quality as my Chelik Aleph. Why? Because when I wrote Chelik Aleph, I was a balabas. And now I'm a Rav. When I was a balabas, I had time to learn. And I had time to think. I was able to steig and vaksais and as a Talmud Chacham. He said, and that was before World War I. And at that time, you know, I had investments and I had, you know, I took care of a business, but I had investments. I was able to really sit. And he said, at that time, I could sit and think for hours without disturbance. Then World War I came along. The whole world was overturned and I lost all my money. So I had no money. I had to take a position as a Rav. And he writes in parentheses. But he said, I wanted to, you know, he uses a Lashon, I wanted to choose the least of all evils. So I turned down the offers from the big cities, like the Choshev Rabbanus, that I said no to. But I became a Rav, I think he was the Rav in Shtutzin. And he said, that's a small city, it can't be so bad. So I became a Rav over there so that I would have a Parnassa. But since I became a Rav, there's no such thing as learning for an hour straight without having 100 interruptions, and you can't think like that. So, well, here's my safer, but who knows how good it is, because this is what I came up without thinking because I'm a Rav now. So with that Hakdama, it's also an interesting thing. For a time, he was in Baranovich. Before he became a Rav, he was in Baranovich. He was very close to Rav Ochanan Wasserman. He was a big Talmud Chacham. You know, he had a relationship in learning with Rav Ochanan, but he also was a wealthy supporter of the yeshiva, and he helped Rav Ochanan with a lot of things. But then there was one thing that caused friction, because he gave a shiur in one of the local shuls. He would give a shiur in the evenings, a Gemara shiur for balabatim, people that, you know, their whole day they were learning, they were working at various trades, and they would make an hour or a half an hour at night. That was who the shiur was intended for.
Sounds familiar.
But, okay, but this Rechil Michal Rabinovich was a big lamdan, and even though he was just, you know, he meant to be just teaching Gemara, Pasha Pshat, but he was throwing in his chidushim, and word got out, and the people from the yeshiva started to come to his shir, and Rav Ochanan was like, what happened to night seder here in Beis Medrash? So, oh, we're all going to the shul, you know, on the other side of town for the balabatim, and his shir was schlepping people out of the Bracham out of the Beis Medrash. Anyway, so this is the Sefer Afikei Yam. So there's a siman in that Sefer where he has a discussion which he didn't start it. He's the one that connects it to this sugya. But there's a very geshmaka discussion that a lot of achrayim get involved in about cooking bishul that starts on Shabbos. If you're cooking on Shabbos, and it doesn't end up getting cooked till after Shabbos, and we were talking just a few minutes ago about putting food up on Friday at the end of the day. Now I'm talking about putting food up on Shabbos at the end of the day, which obviously is a big aver. You're not allowed to do that. You can never put food on the stove on Shabbos, but you get malchus for it. You put up a pot of soup. You put up a pot of water 5 minutes before Shkia on Shabbos, and it starts to heat up, but it doesn't actually get very hot. It's a big pot of water. It takes half an hour, it takes 20 minutes for it to get very hot. So it's cooked on Matzah Shabbos. So your Muskel Rishon might be, who cares when it gets cooked? The Malacha is the Maisa, your Maisa. You did the Maisa of putting the pot on the stove on Shabbos. So you should be Chayav HaChatas, right? You should be Chayav the Malacha. That might be the first thought, the Muskel Rishon, but there's a Gemara on Daf Dalet in Masechet Shabbos, which says that what happens if a person takes bread and he puts it into the oven on Shabbos? Either he was a shegig, he forgot that it was Shabbos, and then afterwards he remembers, or he was amazed and he knew it was Shabbos, and then afterwards he did tshuva. He just put bread in the oven, and then a minute later he says, Gevalt, I put bread in the oven, it's going to bake. So he wants to take it out. So the Gemara has a discussion about how it's not so pasha, because even taking bread out of the oven is also an avera, but it's a smaller avera than putting in. It's not a real malacha. So what's clear in the Gemara is that if when he takes the bread out of the oven, he saves himself from a karmachatas. Or if he was amazed, he saves himself from a chiyav misa. He putting it in the oven was a malacha. But he'll only be over that malacha if it stays in and it gets baked. But if he takes it out before it gets baked, then he won't be chayav. He won't have any of the consequences of the shegig, you know, for a karmachatas for a shegig or a chiyav misa for a mezid. He won't have any of that if he takes it out before it gets baked.
You're allowed to eat it Matzah Shabbos as long as it was time that you could have cooked it after Shabbos.
That's by a guy. Jew does malach. You're talking now about if he left it in and it got baked.
Could you eat it?
So that's the machlekes tanoim. We paskin, I think, that if it's a mezid, it's aser la'olam for him. It's aser la'olam for him, and it's mutter for others. I think that's it's machlekes Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda.
Jews.
Right. I think that's the bottom line.
But you can't take
it.
You can't take
those. Right. That's why the Gemara says it's not so partial even to take it out, but Lamaisa, he definitely... Should the discussion in the Gemara is what about for somebody else? Would somebody else be allowed to do it on his behalf? But it's clear what's clear from the Gemara is that if he does, then he saved himself. He saved himself. He might have saved his life. If he takes it out, then he'll be pachar. So the Mechas Chinuch said that Gemara shows me a tremendous chiddush. He did the whole Maisa Malacha. He put the food in the oven. He put the bread in the oven. Now, we were just saying before that we think that's the Maisa Malacha, that's what you're chayav for. And what happens afterwards is not important. But you see in this Gemara, not like that. That you could do the Maisa, but if you don't get the result, you won't be chayav. If you put the bread in the oven, but then you take it out, you'll be pater. So that suggests that the Malacha is not just the Maisa, the Malacha is the Maisa with the conclusion, with the consequence. So based on that, the Mechas Chinuch said a big chiddush, that if you put food on the stove or in the oven at the very end of Shabbos, you won't be chayev. Because the malacha is the maisa and the consequence. Well, the malacha has to happen on Shabbos. If you do the malacha, if you part of it on Shabbos and part of it is after Shabbos, you won't be chayev for that. So, and since we see from this Gemara that the getting cooked is part of the malacha, so if you put it in at the very end of Shabbos, you're not going to be chayev. That's the chiddush of the Mechas Chinuch. This is 1800s, right? The Mechas Chinuch writes that. The Rashash, who was a contemporary of the Mechas Chinuch, he's writing at the same time, neither of them quotes the other. He also had that ha'ara, that from that Gemara, which l'chayra seem that you'd be potter if you do the malacha at the very end of the day and doesn't get finished until afterwards. But the Rashash says, you know, there's another malacha of Zereya, right? Zereya is planting. And Chazal tell us that in their eyes, a planting only becomes completed after 72 hours. You put a seed in the ground, and it's only, this is very again, Hilchas Chadash, right? The food has to be planted before the Omer, it's negayat to Shvius, right? Food that's planted during Shemitah has one halacha, if it's planted before Shemitah has a different halacha. So when do we consider it to be planted? After it was in the ground for 72 hours. You put it in the ground, for the first 72 hours, the Gemara says it's like it's just sitting in a box. It doesn't really become part of the soil until it's been there for a while. That process takes 72 hours. If that process takes 72 hours, that means that your Zereya is never finished until Wednesday. So how are you ever, this is one of the 39 malachas. Right? Presumably you could be chayav achatas for it. How could you ever be chayav achatas for Zereya if the malachas never finished until Wednesday? Elamai, because he's chayav for the...
How
do you start on Wednesday? Then it's going to be finished on Shabbos. I hear. That's a good horror. Right? That it seems it's clear. Well, that we know from the Mishnayis that say that you're allowed to put food on the stove at the end of the day on Friday, that we don't care about things that happen as a result of your Maisa. Things that happen automatically on Shabbos as a result of your Maisa, that we're not concerned about. But here we're in the reverse. The Maisa was done on Shabbos. And the Rasha says, if you're going to tell me that you're not chayev if the result happens after Shabbos, then you never be chayev for Zereya. So Elamai, you're chayev for the mice itself. So if so, he says for Bishul also, you should be chayev for the mice itself. In the case where you take the food out of the oven, the Rashash says a teres to be mechalik between after Shabbos versus taking the food out of the oven. The Mechas Chinuch, who argues, he has a teres to be mechalik between Bishul and Zereya. And then a lot of other Achayanim in the next generation, the Avni Nezer in particular, was very involved in this discussion in you know, two of his Svarim. The Chalkas Yoyev is very involved. A lot of G'dayli Achayanim get very involved in this discussion about Bishul B'Seif HaYoyim. Is it Chayev? Is it not Chayev? I just gave over like a little bit of the you know, just the Toyameha of what's the basic makar that would indicate that you're not Chayev and the basic problem with that. But it's a Leibedika Machlaikis.
Can you put a piece of bread into the oven to make toast on Shabbos?
No.
It's already cooked.
No. That's true. So would it be, so you want to say that maybe you wouldn't be Chayev Skila for that? Maybe you're right. Yes. But Yizichah not allowed. Yizichah not allowed.
Not allowed?
That's
the reason.
But even Bishul is still awesome to draw a bun on. So Yizichah not allowed. I mean, you said a toaster
no,
uses...
That may very well be allowed.
That may very well be allowed.
Not a toaster.
Okay, but that's not our sugya either. You know, I think there were five things in the Torah that were not our sugya today, and you hit all five of them.
I'm not asking any more questions. If you take the seed out of the ground, does that cure you for the
Zaraya? I think that's part of this discussion. That's part of this discussion. I think that's debatable. So the Afika Yam says, okay, so this is like we said, this is a Leibed Dika Machlekes.
I don't know if it's a question.
Yeah.
What if you have a pile of grain and the wind comes and it's Zaraya? You're not doing it on Shabbos. You wouldn't be forbidden to eat the product.
No.
Okay,
no.
So Hazoreah means the melacha of doing the Zoreah on, right? Right, on Shabbos. So whether it takes 3 days or 4 days from the lashon of the melacha, it's the one which does it. It's not like what happens to it 3 days later.
But that's true for Ha'ifa also, and yet the halacha is that if it then ends up getting taken out of the oven, he's pater. Even though he did the mice of putting it in, but if it doesn't get the result, he's putter. So over there, we see that the result is part of the malacha. So maybe another time we'll try to work out the terutzim of the, you know, this is a geshmak of sugya. Oh yeah, I just mean to be bringing up that it's a controversy. And now, so like I said, there's a number of G'dayli Achrayinim that get very involved in this shayla and talk at length about it. But in the Sefer Afike Yam, what his nayas here, his chiddush, is that we could connect that to Erev Tavshilin. The Moed Lamogen of Rome were worried about that if you put your food up at the end of the day and it's not going to be ready on Shabbos, then you don't have the hayil, you don't have the hetter of the Erev Tavshilin. So like the yeah, but then you don't have a malacha either. Because the malacha is only if it's completed on the same day, right? Like tonight we're talking about cooking on Shabbos. But now it's talking about cooking on Yom Tov, right? Assuming like the Mechas Chanuch, that you're only chayev for the malacha of Bishol on Shabbos if it gets cooked on Shabbos. So the same will be true on Yom Tov. You're only chayev for the malacha of Bishol on Yom Tov if it gets cooked on Yom Tov. If it gets cooked after Yom Tov, so then you didn't do the malacha. Now, Grada over there, it got cooked on Shabbos, which doesn't sound like such a good thing, but that's okay. You zicher didn't do a malacha on Shabbos because you're always allowed to put food in the stove before Shabbos and it gets cooked on Shabbos. So that's not forbidden to do something that causes food to get cooked on Shabbos. You're just not allowed to do a ma'aseh malacha. So you zicher didn't do a malacha on Shabbos. What do we want to get you for over here? What are we donning on? Whether you did a malacha on Yom Tov. But if you did a malacha, you put food on the stove on Yom Tov, but it didn't get cooked on Yom Tov, so according to this chiddush of the Mechas Chanuch, that's not a malacha. So Zog Dafik Yom, so now I'm a manav shach. You put it up whenever you're ready. And if it gets cooked on Yom Tov, then great, then you have a heter of hayil. And if it doesn't get cooked on Yom Tov, then you didn't do a malacha. The Magen Avraham said, don't put it up too late, because if it doesn't get cooked on Yom Tov, you did the malacha without the heter, without the heter of hayil. But he said, no, but if you don't have, if it gets cooked too late, then you didn't do a malacha at all. Because it didn't get cooked on Yom Tov. So therefore he says, the Maman of Shach, there's nothing to worry about. So the Afike Yam says that according to this tzad, now, again, this is, like I said, it's a Leibed Dika Machlaikis, the Rashash against the Mechas Chanuch, the Avni Nezer, the Chalkas Yoyev, we don't really have a clear bottom line. But the Afike Yam says, but if you accept that position, which at least is a very, you know, strong tzad, that the Malacha is only if it gets completed by Bayoim, so then you don't have to worry about this problem of the Magen Avraham, that if you put it up as Seif HaYoyim, you don't have the heter of hayil. True, you don't have the heter of hayil, but you don't need the heter of hayil because you're not doing a malacha.
Still, it's a darban.
Right, that's true. It's still right.
You're not allowed to put something
in the right. It's still an isadur abanon, but that's okay because an isadur abanon has a heter of erev tefshilin.
What about hachana?
All we need is to get it to reduce it to a drabanon. So that should be okay. For the isadur abanon, the erev tefshilin should help.
What about Roshani and Marichta?
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that soon, but what's that nageya
so
here?
If you're cooking, you're putting it up after the first day of Rosh Hashanah, right before the Zman, it's going to follow into the next day.
Right, but we're talking about Erev Tefshilin, you mean where Rosh Hashanah is Friday Shabbos?
Maybe.
But,
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no Erev Tefshilin.
Right, again, there's no Erev Tefshilin over on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is Drabbanon, so that's the second day of Rosh Hashanah is Drabbanon. So that again, if somehow that would make it worse, that still wouldn't be a deraisa issue. Okay, so that's Afika Yam's Ha'ara that is you know allows us to be not as concerned with this warning from the Magen Avraham to make sure that it's done early. The Afika Yam is pointing out a tzad lahakel on that. Now there's also another tzad lahakel. Which, now this is a longer discussion because it goes off into a few other sugyas, but it's actually, there's two other gemaras. One of them is a pretty boring one, but one of them is an extremely fascinating one. Which one do you want first?
Fascinating.
Okay, so the gemara Menachas, Daf Samech Daled, describes a case of a guy who's going fishing on Shabbos. He spreads his nets in the river. Why is he going fishing on Shabbos? Because he doesn't care. It doesn't matter whether he's a sheikh or is amazing, but he means to be doing a malacha. He's doing a malacha, and let's even say he's amazing. He doesn't keep Shabbos. Somebody even warned him, right? You know, if you do that, Basin is going to kill you, so I don't care. Let Basin kill me. He's a real rusher, Michal Shabbos. 2 minutes after he spreads his nets, he feels something heavy. Oh, I got a big catch over here. He pulls up the nets. And you know why it was so heavy? Because there's a human being in there who's struggling for his life. And he just pulled him up. He was matzal and nefesh. Together with a bunch of fish. There's a lot of fish in there also. So, what would we say about this guy? He got Edim and Hasra, right? We're itching to execute him. But he's going to say, what do you mean? I just saved a life. You're allowed to do malach of bikuach nefesh. I did a malach of bikuach nefesh. So, it's the Gemara says, Machlek is Rav and Rava. Rabbi says that he's potter, and Rabbi says that he's chayav. Rabbi says chayav misa, or if it was a sheikh, chayav achatas, but according to Rabbi, he's potter. And the rationale is, you know, we could hear why Rabbi would say potter. How could you make me chayav? If I would have known all this information and I asked, am I allowed to do this? Can I spread my net to save that child? We would have said, yeah, of course. Hazara is a reza nisker. The faster the better. So I did a big mitzvah. I can't be chayav for doing a big mitzvah. Rava, who says Chayev, is yeah, but you didn't know about that. Yeah, that's not what you meant to be doing. So the Gemara says that this is not, you know, it's one very geshmaka case that they talked about, but the underlying machlokes over here is something very, very fundamental. It permeates Kol Torah Kula. When we're viewing what somebody did, do we look at the machshava or the maisa? Basar machshava azlinan or basar maisa azlinan? Rava says basar machshava azlinan. Pekuach nefesh, you're doing a mitzvah. You had no idea that there was a drowning child. You just meant to be Mechal Shabbos. You were doing nothing but fishing. It happened to be that your maisa was a maisa of atzalas nefashos, but your machshava was purely a machshava of malacha on Shabbos. So you did malacha on Shabbos. Rabbi says, Basar maisa zlinan. Look at the act that I did. Never mind what was going on in my head, but this act was an act of saving a person's life. So that's a mitzvah. It's not an aveira. It's mutter. And therefore, he says that you're potter. So Rabba holds that you go basar maisa, and Rava holds that you go basar machshava. Okay, that's the exciting Gemara, right? With the
So I
think most places will say that we pass like Rava.
Like Rava, right?
Rava.
Let's say the guy would have been dead in the water. Then you're allowed to do it.
So then you're high. Then you're high.
You're not allowed to do it.
Right. Then
you're not allowed to pull a person out of the water.
No, that's a different. No, but over here he went fishing. He's chayef for the fishing. No, he's not chayef for for getting the okay. That's a muktzah issue. That's a muktzah issue, but there's a kavanah brias issue. That's
a
that's another two sugyas.
Scuba diver.
I don't know. Okay, then the other gemara. The other Gemara is, at least at the beginning, is going to sound much more drab. My cotton daf beis, if a person is watering his lawn on Shabbos, we all know you're not allowed to water plants on Shabbos, but do we know exactly what's wrong with it? Mishum may masrinan bay, which hasra do we give? Rabbi says mishum chayresh, and Rav Yosef says mishum zereya. Rabbi says that's an act of plowing, or it's a tilde of plowing, and Rav Yehuda says it's a tilde of planting. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi holds it's an act of, it's a tilde of plowing, because plowing is to soften the earth, and that's what you're doing, you're softening the earth, you're making the soil better. And Rav Yosef says that no, it's zereya, because zereya, planting, is making things grow, and when you water the plants, you're making them grow. Okay, that's the Gemara. How would we paskin? I would say, yeah, my nafkamina. I mean, the Gemara clears the shayla about hasra. You're the edim that are watching. Okay, this doesn't happen anymore nowadays. Right? We don't give hasra when we see people doing mechal Shabbos. Maybe we should give teichacha, but we don't certainly don't have to give hasra because we don't have a Sanhedrin that's giving misa. Mm-hmm. So it's mamash not negeya, right? No, either way, it's one. Either way, or cheresh. So the chayra is no nafkamina for us. But the Rishonim, some Rishonim Amo'irer, that although the Gemara, you know, just clears the shayla about Hasra, but it could make a real nafkamina. Are you allowed to pour water on soil that has no seeds? If the Malacha is Zereya, then nothing's going to grow. It's just mud. It's just dirt over there. So to pour water over there can't be Zereya. So according to Rav Yosef that said Mishum Zereya, it'll be Mutter.
Right.
But according to Rabbah, it'll be Aser, not just Aser, it'll be a real malacha. It's a very unusual circumstance that you have a machlekes here where one side has a malacha day rice and the other side has heter gomer. Usually it's machlekes whether something is mutter or Aser midrabanan, or chayev versus Aser midrabanan. Over here there's a machlekes from chayev to heter gomer, because according to Rabbah, that watering a plant is chayresh, so even if there's no plant, you're watering the soil, that's still chayresh. But according to Rav Yosef, that it's zereya, if there's no plant, there's no zereya, so it's mutter. So in the Sefer Ur Zerua, which was one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, the 1200s, the Ur Zerua in the 1200s, so he writes, he points out that this Gemara has an afkamin, whether you're allowed to pour water. You might ask, why would you want to pour water onto dirt where there's nothing growing there? Well, it's very negeya because this that you're not allowed to pour water onto plants means that even if you have some other reason to pour water, like you just want to have a picnic or it's, you're eating in your sukkah and you want to wash your hands for hamaitzi, but you can't pour over the grass, right? We all know that halacha, you can't pour water over the grass on Shabbos, even if you're not doing it to water the grass, but it's a psik resha. So you want to have a picnic, could you have a picnic on the soil where there's no plants? Mamash, you know, a real halacha l'maisa shayla, zakta erzerua, that will be taller than this machlekes Rabbi Rav Yosef. Okay, so how should we paskin? So he says, my first thought would be, there's a general rule, he cites a rule, it's a little bit debatable whether this is a good application, but he cites a rule that in a machlekes Rabbi Rav Yosef, we paskin like Rabbi. So based on that, he would say that Allah is like Rabbah, that this is considered chayresh, and if it's chayresh, it's usur in all circumstances, even if there's no plants, so you have to cancel the picnic. But then the Zerua says, no, I think that we should pass on like Rav Yosef. Why? Let's dig a little deeper here in this soil, yeah? Well, what's the underlying machlaikis? The Gemara says, maybe it should be chayresh, because it's softening the earth. Maybe it should be zereya, because you're making the plants grow. So, well, which one is it really? Are you softening the earth? Are you making the plants grow? So the answer is, if you look at the action objectively, what he's doing, he's not doing anything to the plant. He's doing something to the soil. So if you go buster the maisa, it's chayresh. But why is he pouring water on this soil? Because he wants to make the plant grow. So if you go buster the machshava, it's zereya. So the machloek is Rabbi and Rav Yosef, whether it's mishum chayresh or mishum zereya, is really the machlek is whether Basra Maisa is Linan, Basra Machshava is Linan, which we find elsewhere. The Gemara Menachas about the fisherman who saved the life, and there was machlek between Rabbah and Rava. Rava appears in both Gemaras, and he's consistent. Rava in both Gemaras, he holds that you go Buster the Maisa. That's why he said that your Pater over there, because you saved a life. Your Maisa was a Maisa of Atzilas HaFasha, so you Pater. And he says, Chaybesh over here, because the Maisa is that you're pouring, you're just softening the earth. But Rav Yosef, we said over here, Mishum Zareya, because he goes Buster Machshava, so that puts him on the same team as Rava. Because Rava said over there that you're Chayav Misa because you didn't mean to be saving anybody's life, you just meant to be going fishing on Shabbos. And Rava went Basar Machshava. So by putting these two Gemaras together, so Rav Yosef got a teammate. His teammate is Rava. Now Rava, you know, between Rava and Rava, we pass like Rava. That also might be debatable, but the Arzarua says that that's the rule that he's following, that between Rava and Rava, we pass like Rava. So this lumness ends up changing around how we paskin. If you just were looking at the Gemara in Moed Katan, you would say that Halacha should be like Rabbah. Rabbah versus Rav Yosef, Halacha like Rabbah. But if you connect the Gemara in Moed Katan with the Gemara in Menachos, Rabbah lines up with Rabbah, and Rav Yosef lines up with Rava, so now that becomes the winning team, because Halacha is like Rava, and then back in Moed Katan, we're going to paskin like Rav Yosef, that it's Mishum Zerbeh and not Mishum Chayresh, and if so, your picnic is back on, because as long as there's no plants over there, you're allowed to pour water on the soil. So that's the Erzurua shtickle, and you know it's a very unusual shtickle. This is, you know, we people think of this kind of shtickle Torah is usually what's called a Polish apilpul, to take two Gemaras that on the surface really are unrelated, but to show that on some deeper level they're really connected, and then you say a chiddush in the Gemara Moed Katan based on its connection to the Gemara in Menachos. So that's sometimes called a Polish apilpul, but this is the Erzurua. This is a Rishon, you know, Migdali Paiske Ashkenaz in the 1200s, who says this shikol Torah. It's a little bit of an unusual shikol Torah for a Rishon. But so far, it doesn't really affect our discussion. But now we'll bring in the really Polish part. We have Yosef Engel, who was one of the Gedali Poland in the beginning of the 20th century. He was Nifter in 1919, 1920, something like that. And a very, very prolific writer, and a very big Lamdin, and a publisher. And he writes in the Sefer Asman Dereisa in Kol Chaf Hei, that Kol Chaf Hei is a very, very long piece. It's really about Truma, but Kedarka, he, you know, wanders from topic to topic in the course of his discussion about Truma. And about 10 pages into the Siman, he comes to this Gemara, and he says, and he doesn't say it as his own vart. He says some expression like everybody says, like all the Lamdanim say, that these two Gemaras that are Tali and Basa Maisa, Basa Machshava, there's really a third Gemara that goes with that, and that's the Gemara of Erev Tavshilin. That's also Tali on Basa Maisa versus Basa Machshava. Okay, what do I mean? So the truth is, I didn't give enough of the background. The sugya, okay, I apologize. We have to put this on hold for a minute. The Gemara about Erev Tavshilin that we started with, the Gemara that says Hayel. I told you, it's Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. I was telling you over the Gemara, but I really only told over half the Gemara. The Gemara says, right, the Shaila was, how does Erev Tavshilin work? It can't take off an Nesa Deraisa, and if you're cooking on Yontif or after Yontif, isn't that an Nesa Deraisa? So Rabbi said, no, that's never an Nesa Deraisa because you have a Svar of Hayel. But Rav Chista didn't hold of Hayel. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav Chista, Rav Chista holds that we don't say Hayom. So according to Rav Chista, how does Erev Tavshilin work? So the Gemara says that Rav Chista tells us that Sir Cheshabbos Nasim Beyamtif, that your Shabbos things are allowed to be done on Yamtif. Yamtif, the Hetu to Malacha on Yamtif includes for Shabbos, because, like Rashi says, Rashi uses the words Kedusha Achasein. Yom Tov is a holy day, Shabbos is a holy day, so it goes together. So even though if after Yom Tov is Tuesday, and you're doing Malacha on Yom Tov for Tuesday, you get Malkus for that, but from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Kedusha Achas, that's not like doing a Malacha for Chol, it's doing Malacha for a similar day, and therefore you're Potter. That's what Rav Chista says. And that's what he says is the basis of our Erev Tavshilin. Now that Kedusha Achas, you mentioned before, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, right? There's a Gemara in Beitza, the more well-known Gemara about Kedusha Achas, Shtei Kedusha, is a basis of Nolda Bezeh, Muteras Bezeh, or Asura Bezeh. It depends on whether you consider Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedusha. But Rav Chista, over here in this Gemara, Pesachim Daf Mem Vav, he uses the principle of Kedusha Achas to say that Sir Cheshavas are Nasim Yamtif. And you don't have to come on to Hayel. And he doesn't hold of Hayel. So those are the two sides. There's really two pshatim in Erev Tavshilin. We started off with the Magen Avraham telling us that your whole Erev Tavshilin relies on the fact that you could serve it to guests on Yom Tov. That's because the Magen Avraham paskin like Rabbah. But really, there are two pshatim in the Gemara. Rabbah holds that your Erev Tavshilin relies on the fact that you could serve it to guests, Hayel. Rav Chista holds that it relies on something else. It relies on the fact that Shabbos and Yom Tov are Kedusha Achas, and therefore Midei Reisa, you're allowed to cook from one to the other. It's only in the Sidra Rabbanon, and there's if Shilin works for that. For that, it's a Drabbanon. But what reduces it to a Drabbanon, according to Rav, it's because of Hayel, according to Rav Chista, it's because of Kedusha Achas Hain.
Isn't it also because you started cooking before already?
That you mean before Yom Tov with the Erev Tav Shilin?
Yeah.
That's what takes off the Issa Drabbanon. But we need to first reduce it from a Dereisa to a Drabbanon. So that is either because of Hayel, according to Rabbah, or because of Kedusha Achas, according to Rav Chista. So now, if Rav and Rav Chista argue about whether we say Hayel or we don't say Hayel, so Dr. Yosef Engel, but my kamiflagi, what's the machlokes about? You know, the svar of Hayel, it seems at first to be like a little bit of a far-fetched svara. No, I'm not really doing anything wrong because I could use it on Yom Tov. Come on, but everybody knows you're not planning on using it on Yom Tov, right? You're putting up cholent. You never eat cholent on Friday. You're cooking it for Shabbos. Of course you're cooking it on Shabbos. So is this some kind of a game? You do? Okay.
I like it better on Friday.
Okay. That's a nice chumrah that all year long you're eating on Friday so that on Yom Tov your Erev Tav Shilin will be more erla. There's a real hail. So why does Rabbi say that it could count as Yom Tov food because if guests come, it could be served on Yom Tov? So Rabbi Engel says that it's not, and Rav Chista says, no, we can't count it as Yom Tov food. So it's not that they're arguing about how likely it is that guests will come and whether you really, would use it for the guests or you wouldn't. What they're arguing about is this objectively a malacha or is it only your plans that make it into a malacha?
Sure.
When Rabbi says, Hoyol v'mekal yarchem, what it means is, of course you're doing it for Yom Tov. Your plans make this into Shabbos food. No question about that. But it's only your plans that make it into Shabbos food. The maisa kishava atzmai is not for Shabbos. If you could use it on Yom Tov, Hoyol v'mekal yarchem is just a way of giving an example of why would you ever do it. But the point is that objectively it's not more Shabbos food than Yom Tov food. It could just as well be used on Yom Tov. Just you don't plan on using it on Yom Tov. So Rabbah, Zokter Vyatsev Engel, Rabbah is Lashitasai, three Gemaras in a row, we can line them all up. Rabbah said that when you water the grass, that's Chayuresh Natzerei, because he goes Buster the Maisa, not the Machshava. Rabbah says that if you pull up the child with your nets, your putter, because that's Atzalas Nefashos, because he goes, even though you weren't intending to Atzalas Nefashos, because he goes Buster the Maisa, not the Machshava. So he also says that if you cook on Yom Tov, even if you're cooking for after Yom Tov, but you're putter for that. Hoyol v'yimikali yarchem, meaning I go baser the maisa. You cooked on Yom Tov. The Torah says you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Why? It should be also because you're not planning on using it on Yom Tov. That's your intentions. But the maisa kishava atzma is just cooking on Yom Tov, and that's mutter. So Rabbah holds of hoyol because he goes baser maisa like he did in the other two Gemaras. We have Chista, who says, I don't hold of hoyol. How does my Erev Tav Shilin work? Because of a difference of our Kedusha Achas, but I don't hold of hoyol. Why doesn't the old of Hayel? What's wrong with the Sir of Hayel? Because he goes Basa Machshav. He says, what are you cooking it for? Cooking it for today or for tomorrow? You're cooking it for tomorrow, then it doesn't go into the Hadar of Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh is food for Yom Tov. You're not cooking it for Yom Tov, you're cooking it for tomorrow. And following the Shita of Rav Yosef in Moed Katan and Rav in Menachas, who go Basa Machshava, so Rav Chizkiah says, I also go Basa Machshava, and I say, this is not Yom Tov food, and therefore it's a Malacha Dereisa to cook it. You need some other basis for your Erev Tav Shilin. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, and he says it's not his chiddush. He says the Lamedim say that the Machlaikis, Rabbah and Rav Chista by Erev Tav Shilin is really part of this larger Machlaikis of Basar Maisa's Linan or Basar Machshava's Linan. And it's interesting. We have three Gemaras. In all three of the Gemaras, Rabbah is one of the two players, and he's L'shita, so he always goes Basar Maisa in all three Gemaras. But the other, his opponent, is different in each of the three Gemaras. And one is Rav Yosef, and one is Rava, and here it's Rav Chista. According to this Shtickel Torah from Rav Yosef Engel, it'll come out that, so how should we paskin? Now, the Rishonim already debate that length. How do we paskin between Rabbah and Rav Chista? Rabbah said that the Erev Tav Shilin relies on Hoyel. Rav Chista said the Erev Tav Shilin relies on Kedusha Achas. So I mentioned before that Kishachas, we know this is a big sugya in Beitza, and over there the Ramban points out that over there it's clear Beitza Shenolda, when you have Shabbos and Yantuf Smuchim Zelazeh, Beitza Shenolda was as Muteris was there because of the Shtei Kedushais. So that means that we don't, so Ramban says that's right, that we don't pass them like Avchista. And therefore the Ramban says we should pass them like Rabbah. The Baal Amar, on the other hand, he says, okay, you're going to bring me a Gemara from elsewhere that proves we don't pass like Avchista. I'll bring you a Gemara from elsewhere that proves that we don't pass them like Rabbah. Because there's a Gemara in Beitza on Daf Chaf Aleph, which says you're not allowed to invite guests to your Yom Tov Suda, Shema Yarbe B'Shvili, because you might end up cooking extra. And you're not allowed to cook for, I'm sorry, did I say you're not allowed to invite guests? Chas v'shalom. You're allowed to invite guests. It's a big mitzvah. The Rambam says you should always invite guests to your Yom Tov Suda. What I meant to say was, you're not allowed to invite Goyim to your Yom Tov Suda. Because Shema Yarbe B'Shvili, and that's not allowed, because you're not allowed to cook for Goyim on Yom Tov. Zok the Baal Amar, why aren't you allowed to cook for Goyim? Oh, because it says, Lachem, 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 Dikchavim. But when you cook for Goyim, right, you say, okay, we're having, you know, we're having, there are five people in the family, and we're having five extra people come, so I'm making 10 pieces of chicken, right, for the five of them up for the Goyim. But what's going to happen if before the Suda, somebody comes to your house, on the way home from shul, somebody comes home from shul with you and says, I'm very, very hungry. Please, could you spare a piece of chicken for me? Of course, you give him a piece of chicken. So what makes it for the Goyim? You're planning on giving it to the Goyim. But if a guest would come, you give it to the... So the Svar of Hayol, which we use in the Gemara Psachim, to be matir food that was intended for after Yom Tov, it should also be matir food that's intended for Goyim. So, and yet the Gemara says that you're not even allowed to invite a Goyish a guest, Shem Yarbe B'Shvila, which implies that there's an Issa Deraisa if you actually cook for the Goyim, that's where we make Gezeris, to be marked from, because it's an Issa Deraisa. If that's an Issa Deraisa, it must be that we don't hold of Hayal. So the Baal Amar says that's a Raya that we don't pass on like Rabbah. So the Baal Amar brings a Raya that we don't pass on like Rabbah, we don't hold of Hayal, so he says the Allah is like Avchista. The Ramban brings a Raya that we don't pass on like Avchista, we don't hold of Kedusha Achas, so he says the Allah is like Rabbah. So again, that's, you know, we're not going to follow that through to its ending. I just mean to show that it's sort of an open question whether we pass like Rabbah or Rav Chisda. So Machalikus Rishonim. The Magen Avraham was aware of this Machalikus Rishonim, and he says, but he thinks that the majority opinion is like the Ramban, that we pass like Rabbah, and therefore we have to be careful. Therefore we are relying on Hayol, and we have to be careful to cook earlier in the day. But according to this chap from Rav Yosef Engel, that this sugya is connected to the broader shayla of basar maisa or basar machshava, and over there, like we said, Rava says basar machshava azlinan, which means that makes that the winning team, right? Because Rava wins over almost all the other amirayim, certainly the other amirayim in this discussion. So that puts Rav Chisda onto the winning team because he's with Rava. So according to this Shigal Torah, it's an extra reason to pass on like Rav Chisda, and would be another arguments, you know, to be semichon that if you didn't cook so early and you don't have a hayol to rely on anymore, but according to this Shikul Torah, there's a strong base to say that we pass like a chista.
In addition to that, the lashon that we say, whoever composed the tefillah before the Erev Tav Shilin sounds like he paskin like Rav Chisda. Because it says
we should
be, to allow us to miyoma tova l'shabasa. No?
Yeah.
So what's the answer? It's not Shema.
It's not Hoyle.
No. Of course, you're cooking the Yemitev of the Shabbat.
Yeah.
But you can only use the Erev to allow that if it's a Drabbanon. What made it Drabbanon, not Deraisa? That's where the Hoyle comes in. I mean, the Erev of Shilin is not the Hoyle. The Erev of Shilin is built on, is a step two after the Hoyle.
I hear.
Okay, so just to end off. So obviously, we don't mean to be changing anything in the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham says that the Eretz of Shilin relies on Hayol, and therefore it has to be early in the day. The Mishnah Berurah already says that, you know, that's a big machlokes Rishonim. The Baal Amar paskin like Rav Chisda. Moreover, he says that even the Rambam is a little bit unclear. The Rambam, like, there's a lot of raid in the Achrayim because the Rambam in one place stands one way and another place stands the other way. But the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks that there's a strong tzad that the Rambam may have passed like Rav Chisda. And if so, b'diyevet b'shasat chak, to follow the Rav Chisda. So he says, you should follow the Magen Avraham, do your cooking early, don't leave it for the end of the day. But let's say a person overslept, and now it's 8 o'clock at night, and he's not going to have Shabbos food if he doesn't cook it now. Is he allowed? So b'diyevet b'shasat chak, he says, there's what to be saymichon. So this Shtikl Torah is just adding a drop to that and saying there's even a little more to be said about Chacham, because based on this Shtikl Torah, there's another basis to say that the halacha should be like Rav Chisda, not like Rabbah.